Out of respect, I'm taking my hat off to you.
Well, I liked how you looked like a cabbie from the 40s, but, you know, that's okay.
Hello and welcome to Brewsday Tuesday podcast episode 559. I'm sorry, Tyler Dryblatt. I can't do that for you.
That's true. I can't. Or I guess nobody can do it for me. I don't know. I'm not sure what I'm saying. I can't do the intro. How about that?
Nobody does it for you.
Nobody does it like I don't do it. We're going to be talking about some stuff, but who really cares? Because the big thing is that I get twice in 1 year, big Mitch sighting. What's up, Mitch?
Woohoo!
Woohoo indeed!
I am up. I'm always up when I get to see you and hang out with my wonderful son.
Yeah, absolutely. Geographically, right? Because you're somewhere down south still.
What's that? No,
he's saying you're up, as in further north.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's really good that I have you here to explain Tyler's jokes.
Yeah, the best jokes I find are the ones that need to be explained. They're the funniest, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
usually I just laugh, but now that I have Sam here, he can help me understand that.
I see. Well, you know, that's a good preview of the garbage that we have to talk about today. Because we're going to be talking about some researchers and some football players and some Seattle, I guess. And I don't really care about any of those things. So, but I care that you're here, Mitch.
Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Sam, could take it or leave it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just another week for me.
That's right. Exactly. Just marking off the days until you go in the ground.
Oh, God.
I don't know what's going on. It's got a weird energy to it. Mitch, what do you have? Before the show, Sam said you had some boring old man lager. So what is that?
It's called boring old man lager. No, it's
no.
Called.
What is that? By American Dad?
Maibach. It's a German style lager.
Gross.
It's. Thank you. It's from Lakefront Brewing, and it has an ABV of 6.8. So
okay, well, that's good. You're going to get silly.
Yeah.
And it's your second beer of the day.
My second, oof. I know.
How are you even still awake?
It's barely. Barely.
Yeah. That's fair. Juiced up from seeing the grandkids, I guess. All that adrenaline has got you going.
Actually, they have me exhausted.
I bet.
But they're adorable as all get out.
They're adorable AH.
Yeah. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Have you poured that Maibach out? Have you
not yet.
Tried a tasty sip?
I'm waiting for your instructions.
Go for it. Pop that tab. I realized I said American Dad when I meant to say conservative dad, but it's fine.
That's a throwback to an episode that you must have missed.
Oh. Try not to miss any of them.
I think I pitched another conservative dad.
You did, and I said,
you declined it.
Well, because it was an interview between the founder and Fox Business, and I was like, I don't want to put myself through that.
I feel like there might have been some fun nuggets there.
Yeah.
And so my dad, I guess, I didn't realize this, has never poured a beer in his life. He's doing it one-handed. So,
yeah, like a wizard.
So there's a lot of foam here. We might need to come back around to him.
He's got that Mary style. I feel like Mary is constantly like, my beer is a little too foamy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shots fired, Mary. Can't even defend herself. I have,
get a hand. Wrong button. Damn it. One.
Well, Tyler's done.
Nope.
Tyler's people because my dick.
Nope.
That's the great stuff.
This one.
I say lots of great stuff.
That's the one I was looking for.
That, you know, that would have been pretty good if you had got it
first, on the
not
first
fifth.
Into the fifth,
yeah,
try.
Exactly. Well, I have another Goose Island beer Neon Beer Hug, an IPA, 7% ABV. It had a pretty thin head, similar sized bubbles, very clear, kind of straw colored. It smells nice. It smells kind of. What was that? What is going on?
Oh, are we on? I'm sorry, I didn't know we were on.
Hold on. Is that should on I purpose, not be, Dad? Should I not be eating these crackers directly into the microphone? It sounded like you had one of those like old 80s style computer keyboards that were just like big and semi brownish, and you're like clack 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 clack.
No, you know that Sam's house is immaculate.
Do know this.
Yes. And so we have this table here that Sam has two coasters. I only have one coaster. So luckily, in all the immaculateness of the house.
Somehow you managed to find another one?
No, I didn't find another one, but I found an empty cracker wrapper.
Oh, so I was close about the cracker.
You were totally right. So I opened it up and folded it down so I could put my can onto the wrapper because I didn't want to mar anything in this house.
That thinking is really wild.
But I forgot about the microphone.
Because it was both, like, very thoughtful and also not very thoughtful. And also, what's the point? Like, you don't want to get a can ring on the folding table he's been recording on for 10 years? Who cares?
This, I'll have you know, is a desk that Jed bought during the 3 months he was living with me. And when he abandoned me, he left it here and I stole it.
All right.
Stealing. That's salvage at that point.
That's law of the sea, maritime law. Yeah. This smells very papaya-y. I don't know. It's not bad. I wish it tasted more like it smelled. You know, it is truly an IPA, which is good because it's got that nice clean finish. But it's just it's not really doing anything like new or interesting. So I kind of wish they had pumped up a little bit of those tropical hops in the flavor and not just in the nose. But it smells good. It's inoffensive. So, you know, it could be worse. It smells good and inoffensive. I feel like that's the tagline for like Ryan Seacrest or something.
So mine is from 903 Brewers, and I'm going to use intonation that indicates my thoughts as you read item by item on this. Peanut butter, chocolate chip, rice, crispy, cream ale. This is a cream ale flavored with peanut butter, chocolate, and marshmallow. 5.5% ABV.
Okay. So it's just supposed to taste like a Rice Krispie. It doesn't have Rice Krispies in it.
That's my understanding.
Right.
You get the chocolate and peanut butter in the nose. And it tastes like chocolate and peanut butter. Which is good, but it makes me feel like they wanted to make a Rice Krispie cream ale.
Right.
Did a test batch. We're like, this doesn't taste like anything. Let's throw flavors in it. And didn't remove the Rice Krispie branding from it.
Yeah. Does it, so it tastes a little, like, artificial?
Yeah. It's the peanut butter tastes pretty artificial, which
gotcha,
is.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah.
It's also an interesting color, I think. Looks very yellow to me.
Yeah. I mean, this is a not uncommon color for a cream ale. It's a straw yellow, I think you'd call it.
Yeah.
Tyler likes to describe his beer color in with respect to how dehydrated he would have to be for it to look like his urine. But that's not what I did. And yours looks like maybe this would be after a kidney punch.
Yeah. Well, mine's really red. Yeah. It's I actually like a big head. So, that's why I pour it that way. But now it's gone, and I think maybe I'll taste it. This is exactly the kind of beer that Sam would hate.
Yeah.
With a passion. It actually doesn't have much flavor to it.
Shocker.
At all. But very drinkable. What Sam has called in the past the lawnmower beer.
Uh-huh.
So I find that I'm not liking my IPAs very much these days. So this is actually the kind of beer that I like. So I'm enjoying it, but I know that neither of you would like it nor your listeners, but I like it.
I feel like addressing anything to our listeners is like dividing by zero, you know, null set. Am I using these terms right, Sam? Are you proud of me?
You're using the right tone when you say them.
Confident? Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, let's confidently go to an article, right? What do we got here? I don't care about any of these articles. We'll go to the Cincinnati.com one, I guess, first. Travis Kelce chugs beer before getting University of Cincinnati diploma at New Heights. Who cares? Sam, why'd you send this to me?
Because when I Googled beer news, this came up.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, Travis Kelce, I guess, he's a sportster, right? He recently won one of those big sports bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's right. Thank you. That's nice. So, I guess that's why people care what he's up to. And apparently he has a habit of chugging beer with his brother, also a famous sportster. And now they... He did it while getting a Cincinnati degree?
One of the Kelseys played for your beloved Philadelphia Eagles. Does that give you any extra insight into this, Dad?
Fly, Eagles, fly. Well,
yeah, Jason, his brother, played for the Eagles and was also famous for chugging beers. I mean, they're like the poster boy for alcoholism.
Are they?
I actually don't know that for a fact, but every time you see them in public, they're chugging beer.
Are they?
So this is a thing they're
well known for?
Yes.
Okay.
Not exactly sure what message they're trying to send out to America.
That they love beer.
I guess so.
So, but, something I missed because I didn't read the article, is that they actually both earned University of Cincinnati degrees, but did not take part in graduation ceremonies. So this is like it's not an honorary degree. He's just going to his graduation ceremony late and chugging a beer at it.
I'm wondering, and I have no evidence to back this up, if this isn't actually like an alcoholism thing as much as a branding issue.
Sure.
Like, they did it once. Whichever one did it first did it once as, you know, as a bit. And then his brother copied him. And then everyone loved it. And they were like, oh, I'll do it again. And everyone will love it again. And now they've gotten themselves into a situation where they feel that they have to do it.
Yeah, maybe. I was wondering if anybody else at the graduation tried to chug a beer before getting their diploma. Would they get in trouble?
Probably. I wonder if they had that beer under the podium and gave it to him, or if he had it. And, I have a feeling he cleared this ahead of time.
Sure, but I'm trying to drive at the hypocrisy of the University of Cincinnati, Samuel. Well-known corrupt institution, University of Cincinnati. No, I don't know. But it rankles me sometimes when they're like, yeah, we'll let a famous person do whatever. You know, like he can come up here and get his diploma and chug a beer. But if some rando student came up there and got his diploma and chug a beer, I think they'd be in trouble.
I'd say 100%.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I really don't like this branding, if that's what it is. It's, to me, this is, it's really disrespectful.
Yeah.
These kids, you know, you have to assume they worked 4 years to get to the point where they're earning their diploma, and I think he's making a mockery of it, personally. Maybe that's just because I'm an old fart, and I think that way.
Here's a follow-up to what you just said, follow-up question.
Is there any liquid he could have chugged on stage while getting his diploma that you would have been okay with?
Tomato soup.
Just all cracked right. open a can of tomato soup and slurped it down?
I'd say probably not.
Yeah.
I think, again, just the act itself sure. is disrespectful, but the beer...
That's the cherry on top.
Yeah, yeah, it makes it three times worse.
So if he, not that I disagree with you, but if he went up there and, like, ripped the top off, like, a thing of water and chugged it and was like, all right, everybody, stage rated, you still wouldn't like that.
Yeah, I wouldn't like it, but it wouldn't affect me as much.
Okay, all right. Because it's got a positive message this time.
Right.
All right. See, I think, and I don't know anything about the University of Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I learned today that this fellow went there. But I wonder if you go to UC, which I believe yeah. is the proper abbreviation, if you are like, hey, did you know Travis Kelce went here? He's famous as all hell.
Right.
And then, like, I think maybe if this happens and you're in the graduating class, maybe it's exciting for you that you get to tell your friends that aren't graduating with you, I was at the one where
right.
Travis Kelce chugged that beer.
Okay, so here's since I asked Mitch a whole bunch of follow-up questions. Now I've got some for you, Samuel. So, if at our graduation,
way dead President McKinley had chugged
no,
the beer,
no, I
would have been like, this rules!
if Trent Reznor went on stage and, like, smashed a guitar, would you have been like, yeah,
did Trent Reznor go to Allegheny?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I think if that happened, in all legitimacy, I'd be like, yeah. What the fuck is that?
right. That's what I'm saying.
I couldn't pick Trent Reznor out of a lineup, and I learned today that he went to the same college I did.
Yeah.
So, I guess I would call Travis Kelce famouser.
Sure.
Definitely more zeitgeisty.
Yeah. More relevant.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I would agree with Mitch, though. I think he's making a mockery of the whole deal.
I would love to see Dave Clark of the Cincinnati Inquirer do a Man on the Street piece about this.
Yeah.
Go talk to some people who were, you know, receiving diplomas, some people who were in the audience, asking what they think about this.
I also think we've buried part of the lead here, which is that the president of UC is named Dr. Pinto, which is funny to me.
His first name's Doctor, huh? That's
yeah.
a pretty silly name.
Uh-huh. All right.
Speaking of things that are all right.
Yeah.
My content is bad, so I'm getting out of the way.
Cool.
But I did have a great transition for it, so I'm using it.
All right.
Exactly. So my folks are in town, as you've surmised.
What?
So Emily and I went on our first date since we went to Maine and my parents babysat so we could go out on a date. So that was...
Eight
months ago or something?
It was September.
Yeah.
Clutch play, Mitch. Clutch play.
So we went to... We went to a, like, kind of fruity cocktail bar type place.
Uh-huh.
Called Flight. And part of their deal is they have a bunch of themed flights.
Ooh.
I had the Matthew McConaughey... What do you think the Matthew McConaughey is?
Doesn't he own a whiskey brand or something?
I think he does have a liquor brand. I think it might be tequila.
Oh.
But it's not to do with that at all.
Aviator?
Now, remember how you walked me into this segment.
It's all right, but I don't know what kind of liquor.
All right.
Okay, so
and you know close. I like rye. You know that about me.
I was close with the whiskey. All right.
So yeah, it was just three different ryes, and they were great.
That's pretty funny.
And then I also had a hot pepper tequila cocktail, which was great. I love a spicy beer, as you well know.
Yeah.
I like my spicy cocktails not as spicy as I like my spicy beers. And this was like the perfect amount of like heat to booze to sweetness triangle. It was great.
That's good. What flight did your dear wife get?
She didn't get a flight. She got a, I forget what it's called. It's like a jungle juice thing.
Who cares?
It's something so generically named that I walked halfway to the bar and had to come back. I think it was just called Tropical Punch.
That's funny.
Like the type of name that really falls out of your brain.
Yeah. Mitch, do you like a cocktail?
Not so much. I'm less of a big drinker than I used to be.
Yeah.
I've reached an age where I realize that I have a finite number of brain cells.
They're not coming back. You're just killing them
all. I know. I'm losing more each day. So that's kind of kept me off of the sauce.
Yeah.
Aside from real special occasions.
Oh, that's nice. So. Thank you for the sacrifice your brain cells are making today.
You say that about brain cells, but you were telling me yesterday about how you were doing cannabis gummies to help you sleep. Does that not have the same
effect? I don't think so.
No?
I haven't done the research on it.
I don't know.
I guess you could argue that bad sleep also is bad for brain cells.
Yes. And I got 10 milligram gummies. And I would take 5 milligrams a day, every other day. It fixed my sleep first night. And then I don't use them anymore.
And I guess if you start to have issues again and want to dip back in, I know from you showing me some text messages that you have the hookup.
Yeah, I have a friend who's a home grower.
Oh.
He just sent me pictures of his female plants, I guess. And
he's
very excited about how they're growing. He grew them last year, too.
Cool.
Had some good success.
Sick.
It's legal in Maryland now. You can grow two plants for self-use.
That's cool.
And you're a big gardener.
I am.
Have you really?
I thought about it, yeah.
I just worry because you always tell me about how the rabbits and the deer get into your crop. Like, I'm just worried they're going to be partying back there.
I have no problem with happy animals. My bigger concern is it would give them the munchies and then they'd eat the rest of the crop. So.
That's just science.
Absolutely.
Hey, speaking of science.
Well, I was going to say from brain cells to grain cells, baby.
Ooh, I like that.
Well, you could be wrong. That's okay. Fizz.org, research has developed a method to extract useful proteins from beer brewing leftovers. So
when you say, I got to jump in here. When you say fizz.org and we're a beer show, it really sounds like that's spelled F-I-Z-Z.
That's a great point.
This is P-H-Y-S, so I'm assuming it's physics?
Yeah.
What is fizz.org, I guess?
No, that's a good point, Samuel.
Physics and other sciences, I guess.
Yeah. Fizz.org is something, that's like a Coca-Cola brand or some nonsense, I don't know. Oh, I get the burps. Oh, man. You guys see The Jinx? What a good documentary.
I don't know it.
It's a documentary series.
You're making this so hard for me to cut around. I was just going to cut your burp, and now we're having a discussion about it.
Yeah, we are. I know what I'm doing. It's about Robert Durst. It's really good.
Oh, okay. I've heard of Robert Durst.
Yeah, well.
He's not a good guy.
He was a very bad guy. But watch The Jinx. It's really good, and it features some classic burps.
Okay.
It does. I don't know what else to tell you. But anyway, we've done some stories about people reusing spent grains. Like, I think we talked about some dog food or something like that and, like, using it as, like, compost or something else. But this is a little bit different. This is, instead of using the whole grain, they're just schlooping the protein out of there. And I guess some scientists have come up with a way to take, like, 80% of the usable protein out of spent grains. So that is good, I guess.
To what end?
Yeah, that was my question, too, because, like, what are they going to do with it? And it says they can use it as, like, supplements, which doesn't really seem like the most effective use of this whole science. But, you know, whatever. Or to, like, bolster like, plant-based foods and stuff.
It's also always tough with scientific research articles, because, obviously, with the place your brain goes first is, like, so what? What do you
right.
– what is the deliverable here?
Yeah.
But a lot
that's
of the
not
time,
really what they care about.
Yeah, and I think it's correct for that not to be what they care about.
Yeah.
I think the job of scientists is to further science, and sometimes actual applications are going to come out of that, and sometimes they're not, and it's not on the physicists or chemists, probably, in this case, to worry about.
But what it sounds like to me is they're enriching plant-based foods to increase the protein level in plant-based foods.
That's one of the applications they mention. Yes,
which I think is a great idea, because you know eating meat is really bad for the environment. So if people are able to get their grain their protein from non-meat sources, it could certainly help with global warming. So I think that would be cool.
Yeah.
But my main takeaway is I should just be eating forkfuls of spent grain because there's some protein in there.
Sure, you do that and you respond. You come back and you report on how that worked for you and your tummy, which is, I think we all know, the heartiest tummy in all the land. You've
right.
never had any issues with it.
This is Sam from the future reporting in. I'm editing right now. Just letting you know I had a bunch of diarrhea. Don't try.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I was going to say they've built you a new anus, but that doesn't even have to be in the future. We know somebody that happened to in the past. Well, I do. You don't.
I don't.
You don't. But, yeah, isn't it a crazy time to be alive?
Yes.
Do you think they always said that? Do you think every person has ever said that? Crazy time to be alive?
Because
every time is the most advanced time, other than, I guess, maybe the Dark Ages?
Which was still a crazy time to be alive.
Yeah.
Probably. I'm not sure that, like, cavemen were like, crazy time to live, you know?
Like, struggling to live is probably what they were saying.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
And the amazing thing is they all spoke like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right, absolutely.
Crazy time to live.
Most scientists won't tell you that, but I'm out here dropping truth bombs.
Man, Dad, no one even told you to do a Schwarzenegger, and you went ahead and did a C-minus Schwarzenegger.
Oh, I know, it's bad. No, I know, I don't pretend that I have, I don't have those skills.
Do you have any good impersonations in the chamber?
Let me think about it, because
okay.
I think I might, but I can't
All right.
think of any.
How about you, Samuel?
Oh, man, just one. Just one.
I'm
Tyler. Where's my binder?
Is that off the soundboard? That's so good. It sounds just like me. Incredible.
That would have been smart. I should have just said, "Oh, this is Jed talking," and then hit a Jed button. But
right,
as you know, I don't know where.
You wouldn't have known.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have known the button to hit.
This is my imitation of a rapper rapping about Danny DeVito's phallus. It's not Danny DeVito's phallus. It's a comparison of Danny DeVito to a phallus.
I use Danny DeVito as a comparison in my owl dissection program. Talk about great horned owls, which have a 5-foot wingspan. So if you think of Danny DeVito turned on his side coming through the air, that's basically a barred great horned owl in flight, is what I say.
I would be running, which is probably the right call.
Yeah. Yeah, so good job, science. Way to get that 80% protein out. We'll see what you do with it, I guess. When I hear stuff like this, I always think about what was it, Snowpiercer, where everybody's like eating those protein bricks made out of crickets, and it's supposed to be like, "Oh my god, I can't believe we're eating crickets." And it's just like, "Yeah, where else are you going to get protein on a train circling a vast frozen Hoth planet?"
I mean, my thought is, no one was like grimacing and retching while they were eating them.
Yeah, so
they must taste good enough, like obviously people there were starving and stuff.
Yeah.
But if it's good enough that they're eating it, like great.
Who cares?
If like I was kind of trying to put myself in the headspace. Like if I ate a granola bar and someone was like, "Gotcha, that granola bar was actually made of bugs," I'd be like, "Oh, for real though?
Are they poison bugs? Am I gonna die?"
Right. I mean, great source of protein.
That's right. Who cares?
And to hippie Mitch's point over here, it's a sustainable source of protein.
Well, that's true, but they needed global warming in that movie. It was two coals.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, boy. Okay, cool. Hey, speaking of global warming, I guess, and being sustainable, I had jackfruit for the first time the other day. You guys ever have jackfruit?
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Yeah? What do you think about jackfruit?
So jackfruit doesn't taste like much, but I think its texture as a meat substitute is really effective. Yeah. Did you say no?
I said yeah. I thought it was fine, but I was a little bit underwhelmed, to be honest with you, because I was like, oh, this is pretty much nothing.
Well, I think it's a matter of how it's prepared. At my work, maybe once a month they'll make a pulled pork sandwich, like a barbecue pulled pork sandwich, except it's jackfruit instead of pulled pork. Yeah. And it hits for me every time because the texture is close enough to pulled pork and it's barbecue.
Right.
So, you know, the jackfruit has two uses. I mean, you could eat it as a fruit. Like when it's first comes out, it's very sweet.
Uh-huh.
As it continues to, I think, no, actually it could be the other way around. It could be when it first comes out, you can use it for savory applications.
Yeah.
But if it continues to ripen, it's a very sweet fruit.
Interesting.
Yeah. I was in Vietnam recently and saw jackfruit, and they're huge.
Yeah.
They also could help with protein shortages, I think, because I think they're substitute protein.
That was the idea. Yeah.
I had it once, actually, in pulled pork, but it was homemade. I did it at home, and it didn't wow me.
I also felt not wowed, but I don't know. I mean, I was like, okay, I'm glad I tried it, I guess. But I was a little underwhelmed. A little underwhelmed.
You guys got to come to my work. The sandwich hits.
Okay, sure. What else has been going on? You guys see that eclipse? You in the path of the eclipse at all?
I got the 85 or whatever kind of crescent situation.
Same here.
Which is like, I don't know. I had heard like, I forget what the timing was. It was like 2:06 is peak time. So I went out at 2 and looked, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I can't wait to see how cool it looks at 2:06. Turns out the exact same.
Yeah.
It didn't change at all. I was like, I should have just gone back inside. I had already seen the whole of the show. I thought it was going to get cooler. I guess only if you're in the 99-plus range.
Yeah, the totality area. Yeah. I also have about 85%. But you see, I work at a state park, so I had to put on an event. So a bunch of people come out. The news was there.
Anybody fry their eyeballs out?
People really tried. I made these like pinhole viewers, right? And everybody was like, thank God there wasn't a hole on the other side, because everybody would immediately take them and look directly at the sun with them, which is not how a pinhole viewer works. I'm like, are you people idiots?
I just had the glasses, so I did just look right at it.
That's fine. Some people have glasses. I didn't buy any glasses because last time, apparently people were getting into fights over the glasses. Is what somebody told me. Like back in 2017 when we tried to do one at my park. I wasn't around at the park yet, but apparently people were fighting over the glasses.
Like there was a shortage?
I guess.
Man, people are fucking idiots.
Yeah, so I didn't want to deal with that. So instead I just had people trying to burn their eyes out. But I stopped them.
You deserve some kind of medal for that.
Tell me about it.
I'm going to write to your bosses.
Write to my congressman.
I mean, honestly, I would say put him on a trading card.
Has Mitch seen my trading card?
I have a tab up for it.
I love it!
Yeah, Who put me in charge of all those kids? Can you believe that?
Now three of them are missing. Is that true?
Yeah. Well, it's like
they
were also
delicious. Substitute proteins.
Yeah, absolutely.
So does everybody have a trading card who
no,
works?
No.
I think
I'm
amazing.
Just like everybody else? No, Mitch, it's not that cool. So what it is it's Allegheny College, where Sam and I went. They have some program where they people who are associated with Allegheny, if they're working like the environmental field, they put them on these training cards to try to get people inspired to do environmental jobs and stuff.
I think it's very cool.
Yeah.
It's a great picture of you, too.
Thank you. But, yeah, it's wild because I'm in charge of all these kids in this picture. I would never let anybody be with me and kids. That's crazy. And then they had me teaching a black powder safety training this past week, too, which is wild. Teaching people how not to blow themselves up with black powder. Isn't that wow. bizarro?
Wow.
Yeah.
But you are legitimately pretty experienced with black powder.
Yes.
If we were in what is that movie? The one, not Deep Impact, the other one.
Armageddon?
Armageddon. If we were in an Armageddon situation where they were like, there's like an Earth-level threat, and the only solve is we need to get a bunch of people with black powder expertise.
Yeah.
Would you say you know top 1,000 in the world in terms of black powder safety and usage?
No.
No?
Maybe, no.
All right, never mind. Fuck you.
Maybe in the U.S., but not in the world. I don't think so.
I just like to think about stuff that like esoterica that maybe sure. I would be the one who's the expert in.
Right.
Theta KN embeddings.
Sure. Naturally.
Number one. Number yeah. one in the whole world. Pretty
yep.
cool. Don't actually remember how that works, so maybe I'm not. But I was at one point when I wrote that paper.
Yeah.
We just watched a TV show where a guy was the number one world expert on kelp.
Yeah.
And who? The guy who was interviewing him said, I spoke to him for 10 minutes, and now I'm the number 3 expert in the world on kelp.
So he has a kelp dosh rating of, what, 2? Something like that?
Hey, you didn't quite – that joke didn't quite work. Like, you didn't
yeah.
quite do it right, but I like the attempt at that reference.
Thank you.
You're going to get a gold star and a C minus.
All right, I'll take it. Yeah, but my question, I guess, is who certifies him as the world's foremost kelp expert?
I think he did.
Oh, you guys are frozen. I was talking to myself.
No, we heard you. Your image is frozen, but we can still hear you.
Oh, okay. But who certifies him? You know, who's like, yep, he's definitely the world's number one kelp expert.
You know, I don't know. I think the Kelp Laboratories Incorporated.
He's acclaimed by his peers. Is that the idea?
I think he is.
Yeah, I'm not joking. I mean, if the community like asserts that he's the number one, that's fair. I was just curious.
I wonder if in those sort of like academic fields, if there's any amount of nepo babyism. I guess nepotism is the word, and nepo baby is just the more common term.
Yeah,
but. Maybe he doesn't actually know that much about kelp, but his dad knew a shitload about kelp and is telling everybody, this guy knows kelp.
I don't think you can get away with it in a community like that for very long, you know? Because somebody be like, you know, what's your favorite fact about, you know, that kind of kelp? And then if you're just like, oh shit, I don't know, you're pretty much rumbled, right?
That show did teach me one thing about kelp.
Tell me.
I didn't know the difference between kelp and seaweed. Turns out kelp is a subset of seaweed.
Well, okay.
Right. So this guy was not the number one world expert on seaweed.
Just kelp.
Just kelp.
Okay.
I mean, he must be top 10 or something on seaweed just given his kelp knowledge. And you think there must be some overlap. He must know something about non-kelp seaweeds.
You think he looks down?
He could do a nori.
Well, okay, so do you think people who are seaweed experts look down on him because they're like, oh, he only knows about kelp? What a loser.
No way. I think they're like,
what a kelp cuck.
We're gonna have to call in him. This is a kelp job.
Bring me the kelp man. Yeah. This is good. This is fun.
I'm glad I could ruin your show.
Are you kidding me? Bring me the kelp man is the title of the episode.
Yeah, that's funny. I don't know. That is an interesting thing. But let's go to something that I don't find nearly as interesting as the kelp man. SeattleTimes.com. Rainier beer shortage has Seattle taps dry and fans frothing. I feel like I've probably heard of Rainier beer before, but I don't know that I've ever had it or why it matters.
So I haven't had it either, and I don't know why it matters either. But I will say that when I Googled beer news, this was the number one article, and another thing about this was the number two article. So this must be a big deal to somebody.
I guess. So it's talking a lot about Pabst and Molson, which probably either own a stake or are where they brew their beers. And there's some Teamster strike that's been going on, which I hadn't heard about, that I guess is affecting their operations. Mitch, were you nodding over there about the Teamster strike? Are you in with the Teamsters? Oh, okay. I was like, Mitch Hoffa Ginsburg over here.
No, I was just nodding off. But
damn, shots fired. Okay. So I guess that's happening, which I find a little more interesting. I kind of wish this article was about the Teamsters strike in Molson, but
We're getting paywalled on this article, so we only have the first.
No, you're not. No, you're not. Just look over top left of the little square that looks like a paywall. There's an X.
Let me refresh this, see if it helps.
There's a little X, trust me.
There it is.
It was happening to me, too. No?
No.
Well, it likes me better. It gave me a little X. It was like sign up for a flash of news or some nonsense like that, but then it had a little X there.
Oh, damn.
I thought you had it.
So if we can scroll down fast enough before it pops up, and then it pops up and it scrolls away from the text. If I were faster, I could take a screen grab, but I just don't care.
Can you open it in incognito?
I tried it. It didn't work.
Damn. I'm really surprised. Now I want to refresh it, because I swear to God I was able to click out.
Bro, this is audio poison. Let's just move on.
You'll edit around it. Who cares?
But I don't want to.
But you were all into editing around my burp.
Because it's yucky.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's a big deal up in Seattle, though. And this Teamsters strike is making people not get it. And, oh, boy, they're just so irritated.
And is the outcome that people are like, wow, we got to support this strike and look into it and figure out who we hate and all that stuff, because that's what a strike should be doing. Like, the fact that they're writing about it means the strike's doing its job to an extent. The fact that they're not covering the strike means it's not all the way there.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't read the whole article, obviously. But I will say that the last three paragraphs are some real gold. They describe it as an inoffensive brew, which is really damning it with faint praise. And then some of the people who are like, yeah, I came here for a Rainer, but I can't find it, say, quote, I'm just interested to see where this goes. So it's really, I don't know if it really is as much of
a headline
trying to hype up here at SeattleTimes.com.
Rainier beer shortage has Seattle taps dry and fans frothing. Those fans don't sound like they're frothing. Those fans sound like they're like, all right, I'll just drink something else, whatever.
They don't sound very frothed, I got to be honest with you. Yeah.
Don't froth me, bro.
Well, don't. What year is it? Mitch, you said you were recently in Vietnam. Is that your most recent travel?
It is.
Tell me about Vietnam. What was that like?
Vietnam is amazing.
Yeah.
It's a very, very cool place. It's very beautiful, very lush, and it's hip and happening. There's so much energy. The streets are teeming with people, teeming with motorbikes. It was a very exciting place to be.
So, in other words, the Communist Party is really doing a good job, is what you're telling me.
Well, it's a socialist party, for what it's worth. But it's interesting because it's a socialist party. It's one of the most capitalistic countries I've ever been to.
Yeah, sure, that makes sense.
Everybody's trying to make a buck in Vietnam and doing a pretty good job of it. It was really interesting because we were in a group tour, and it turned out no one else signed up for the group. So it turned out to be a private tour.
Oh, okay. I was confused by the way you said that for a second. I thought there were a group of people there, and they just hadn't signed up. They had just been, like, accumulated on the first day of something, and you were the only people that signed up. But no, it was just you and your lovely wife.
Yes.
And 10 empty roster slots or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. So it was great. I mean, we learned a lot from our guide, and I think he opened up to us more than he might have otherwise. It doesn't seem like they're great at their social programs, but they are, you know, for a socialist country.
Oh, yeah.
But they are really good at making money. And the other thing that was really interesting, I mean, you know, I'm in the age group where people were serving in Vietnam.
Did they think you were coming back to make amends or something?
Well, I didn't quite make the age cut.
Yeah.
Luckily.
Yeah.
And I never would have gone because I never thought that, you know, it was a stupid war.
If you were drafted, you wouldn't have gone?
No, I wouldn't have. I would have. I would have moved to Canada.
Ah, that's what I was. Would you have gone to jail and moved to Canada or cut a finger off?
No.
Wasn't there a thing about if you're in college though?
Well, you could get a deferment, but not everybody could get a deferment. If the war had gone on long enough, I mean, I would have been drafted at some point.
Yeah,
and but
you were A1, you were in great shape.
Yeah,
you were throwing bricks over buildings and shit.
If it had just gone on a little bit longer, you could have won the war.
I could have. I don't think, you know, I love my country, but my country totally effed up that war. But they totally underestimated the Vietnamese people.
Yeah.
And their will to fight. And their ability to fight. So actually, what that was leading towards is we started off in the north in Hanoi, which was really interesting, but then we ended up in the south, which was in Ho Chi Minh City, and we saw so many exhibits about the American War, which is not called the Vietnamese War.
Sure.
And just some really ingenious planning by the Vietnamese people. I mean, they've been set upon throughout their whole history. So, you know, starting with the Mongols, but then the Chinese have invaded, the Japanese have invaded, the French have invaded, the U.S. invaded. They know how to fight. They know how to win a war where they're at a disadvantage. And the U.S. had no idea. There was one quote from one of the generals, and I wish I could remember his name, but one of the generals was said, "We're just going to bomb them back into the Stone Age."
Right.
That's ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous to think that would happen, especially from in a country that's been fighting so many wars. Bombing didn't really work, and they had all these amazing tunnels and ways to avoid being killed and overrun. So it was fascinating. And The Vietnamese people are really proud of their country. I kind of don't blame them after being there.
Well, thanks for that report, Red. I really appreciated that.
I love my country. No better country than the U.S. of A. But I think they were very short-sighted in that particular.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. I was talking to one of my staff members. Well, he's no longer a staff member of mine. I moved jobs. But he was like, yeah, you know, the U.S. won the Vietnam War. I was like, oh, yeah? who's in charge of the country over there? Oh, the Vietnamese Communist Party? Okay, cool. All right. I'm not sure we won, Mark. I'm not sure about that.
I assume that if you ask who won the Iraq War, he'd give you the same answer.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I mean, the Iraq War is a little bit more complicated because there is a theoretically American-friendly government installed there. I think a more apt comparison would be Afghanistan.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Korea.
No, not Korea. Korea doesn't really work either because it's like a – that's like if we had preserved South Vietnam, which we didn't.
Really showing my ass here history-wise.
A little bit, but that's okay. Mitch and I got it covered. You just tell us about M theta functions or whatever.
Theta KM embeddings.
That was close. But aside from seeing all the punji steaks and the rat holes, what was your favorite part about Vietnam?
I just think it was a beautiful country. But
if you don't say food, you're lying to us.
I was going to say. I really enjoyed the food.
Was it that they love you long time?
What?
No, let's move on. Yeah, the food. I'm not sure I've had a lot of, other than like pho, I'm not sure I've had a lot of Vietnamese food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very tasty. I mean, that was what we had the most of.
Yeah.
But we had a lot of different kinds, a lot of variety in our, we did two food tours. And we also did a cooking class, so we you know, I'm really into food, so that was very enjoyable too.
Nice. Being really into food has infected my family a little bit.
I'm sorry.
To the point where there are sometimes, and it's less about food, more about logistics for me. Sometimes at 9 a.m, I'll be thinking ahead to what we're having for dinner. Just because I'm planning, like, who has to cook and stuff with the kids and stuff. And so I'll always open the conversation with 3Sex by saying, you know, I'm my father's son, so I got to ask you about dinner. And that's how we lead in.
That is how I am. You know, I researched this medication, Mounjaro.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Because I have some friends who are taking it, and they say it's really changed how they think about food. Like, I think about food constantly. So what you're saying, Sam, I do every day. What's my next meal? How am I going to figure out how to do it? I think about food constantly. The people I know who have started taking that used to be like that. And now they don't give food a second thought. And
weird.
Sometimes they...
You should take Iboga.
Iboga? I don't know what that
Iboga.
Is.
Yeah, Iboga is like this weird, like, West African, I believe, plant that makes you have, like, a horrible 12-hour trip. Like, you're just throwing up all over the place and, like, confronting, like, all of the traumas of your past. But when you come out of it, like, it can help cure a lot of, like, addiction problems and, like PTSD problems and stuff like that.
Fascinating.
I was sure that was somehow going to be a D's Nuts joke. D's Nuts. That doesn't really make sense, but I was sure.
No, it's a real thing. It's really interesting because it's just like a horrible, horrible trip. Like I said, you just like throw up and like see the ghosts of all the people in your life who have died for like 12 hours. But then you come out like not addicted to heroin anymore, which is pretty amazing.
But I mean, that's just, what I've heard about ayahuasca is you also like barf and shit the whole time. And it's terrible, but people love it. But I haven't heard anything about it curing mental disorders or addictions or anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm guessing ayahuasca doesn't. I'm not sure why people like ayahuasca. I've already also heard it's a very difficult trip, but I don't know. People are crazy.
They're doing a lot of research right now about using hallucinogenics.
Yeah.
With people who have mental health problems, specifically like PTSD, and finding some good results.
Yeah, and ketamine is supposed to be really good for people with depression, which is crazy. Why is nobody giving me free ketamine?
I don't know. I don't know, but hopefully you'll be able to steal enough of it to keep yourself.
I've got my grubby. I got my grubby little paws on enough to ride out the shakes. Well, all right, that feels like a good time to put an end to this, right?
Sure.
Okay. Let's see. I guess I'll go first so Mitch can be reminded of what he's supposed to do. You can hear me. Okay, you're back. All right, cool. So to remind everybody, I had Goose Island's Neon Beer Hug, a 7% IPA. Yeah, so again, I really wish it tasted more like it smelled, because it smelled kind of like a tropical Dole fruit cup. Very tasty. But it didn't really taste like a whole lot. There wasn't like a whole lot of hop characteristic too much. I mean, it was, you know, pretty clear and light, which is good, not like a hazy. And it was fairly drinkable for 7%, but there just wasn't a whole lot going on with it. So I think I'm going to give it a, I don't know, like a 5.7. And just recommend it to people who want to take it a little easy, you know. You want to take it a little easy on your taste buds. You don't want to go too crazy with any particular flavors. This might work for you.
Man, speaking of beer that doesn't taste like anything, this guy.
Yeah, well, this was the most delicious beer I've ever had in my entire life. Well, maybe that's overstating it a little bit. I had this
He's looping on that 6.8 Maybach over there. He's getting crazy.
German-style lager. And I like the color. It was totally innocuous beer. I would give it a 6.0, and I would recommend it for people who don't really like beer.
Okay.
That much.
Fair. Yeah.
I had 9 of 3 peanut butter chocolate chip Rice Krispie Kreme ale. This should have been a stout. Because the fakey peanut butter really grated on me. And the chocolate wasn't present enough. And I think those problems are both solved by just dumping a shitload of dark malt in
here. Right.
And my other problem with it is could have been 8%. And dump a shitload of dark malt in there, and now that's a little easier.
Right.
So, like, I would love to try the sequel to this beer where they realize what I've realized, but I'm not rating that theoretical beer. I'm rating this beer. I'm going to give it a 3.5 and just say, like, it kind of is what it says it is, but it's just too fakey and too thin.
Yeah, sometimes that happens. I think that's why as Swag Factory Brewing Company, you know, we were always interested in getting the flavors out of the actual ingredients instead of, like, just dumping, you know,
for
chemicals.
For better or worse, that's what we did.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel where you're coming from. Mitch, I'm so glad to be able to talk to you so soon, and I'm really glad you got to travel to a country that didn't, like, immediately burn down after you left.
Give it time.
Yeah, it's true. But I feel like that was a pattern for a while, so hopefully we're getting out of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Sam, a pleasure to see you as always.
Oh, thank you.
Number two son.
Absolutely. Sam, do you know what you're drinking next week?
Nope.
Cool. Sick.
I'm planning on Metamucil next week.
God. What would you rate that out of 10?
Metamucil?
Yeah.
Well, it depends. You can get sugar-free, and you can get with real sugar. I think the sugar, with the real sugar, it's got to be an 8.6.
Sure. Yeah. Those uncut sugar grains, absolutely. All right. Well, listener, if you want to tell us what old-timey beverage you drink at night or in the morning, I don't know, whatever, you can email us at brewstuesdaypodcast@gmail.com or your comment links at brewstues.com. I'll best keep it up. We'll see you next episode. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Here comes a beer. Catch all your tears. Drink the remedy. Forget about your problems. Here comes a shot. Lose all your thoughts. Drink the remedy. Forget about your problems. This one's on me. Fix you for free. Drink the remedy. Forget about everything. This one's on me. Got what you need. And take your medicine. You feel better. My first thought when you said all time you drink was Tang. Do they still make Tang?
I don't know.
I think so.
I don't think I've ever had it.
My first thought was sarsaparilla.
Oh.
But that's like real old-timey.
Tang tastes like Sunny D.
All I know is that an animated orangutan once told me it's a kick in a glass, and I remember being seven and being like, I know what that rhymes with.